All right. That was fun. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. You know, he provides all of our needs. It's not necessarily all of our wants, though, right? But God does know the desires of our heart. Sometimes what we want is no good for us. And he withholds. And that's good. We're thankful, right? It's just like a good parent. Discipline, the things that we need. We don't need extra ice cream. We need healthy food. We got to think about what we do for our kids, right? God does the same thing for us. Amen. All right. So today I wanted to talk about life in the spirit. And I have begun reading this book that my district superintendent suggested called The Spirit-Empowered Life. I'm going to share a little bit of it at the end of this message because it's powerful. It talks about wanting more. And today, like I said, is Pentecost Sunday. And what does that mean? You know, somebody asked a question this morning, is that a Catholic thing? Is that a Christian thing? Well, Pentecost actually, historically, it was a Jewish thing, right? It was another festival. And we have taken that on now because what happened in the book of Acts on Pentecost was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, which I'll talk a little bit more. So our distinctive as an Assemblies of God fellowship here is that we celebrate the Holy Spirit. Instead of putting him in the back seat, the Holy Spirit is critical and central to what we believe and what we profess and how we live our lives. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit for today. And that those promises are for us here and now. There are those that believe that all of those gifts that were given to the apostles through the Holy Spirit died with them. And I'm here to tell you that that's not the case at all. Having lived with the Spirit and without the Spirit, I can tell you that life in the Spirit looks differently than it does without the Spirit. And that the power and the passion and that presence that we celebrate is available to us today. So do you want more? Right? If you're sitting here on a Sunday morning when you have the opportunity to roll over or go out for breakfast or read the paper and have an extra cup of coffee, I would suggest that maybe you're here because you want more. You want more of what God has for you, more out of life. And I don't mean more in the worldly sense, more things, more possessions, more acclaim for oneself. But we want more of what God has for us, a life that's rich with what God wants for us. Are you seeking the life that Jesus promises? And that's a life more abundant, he says, a life to the full. John 10:10 in the Message says it this way, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. That's a life that God promises us through the Holy Spirit. So what kind of life is that? One that's lived in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's one that I'm going to tell you today is full of power, it's full of passion, and it's purposeful and rich. So power, passion, and purpose. And those are the three things I want to talk about today. Jesus promised us the gift of the Holy Spirit before he ascended into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now this has been the Assemblies of God World Missions text for a long, long time, but I want to share it with you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And Jesus highlights the gift and the expectations that we can have after receiving that gift. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power. Say power. Power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. So power, that's the first thing. Now first, I want to share a story from the scriptures that reveals what power can look like. Now maybe you know of Samson in the Old Testament, one of the early judges. And in this story, he's just had revenge on a lot of Philistines after they'd killed his bride and his father-in-law. And then he began to hang out in this cave and kind of seek some alone time. And the Philistines came looking for him, because he had done damage on their community. And they came to the people of Judah looking for him and then complaining about him. And so the people of Judah then went to the cave because they knew who he was and complained to him. So Samson says, okay, I'll come out. You can bring me out, tie me up, bring me out, turn me over. And this is what happens next. It says in the scriptures, as he approached Lehi, the Philistines came to meet him, shouting in triumph. And this next phrase is the most important one. says, and then the Spirit of God came on him with great power. All right, what happens then? The ropes on his arms fell apart like flax on fire. The thong slipped off his hands. He spotted, get this, a fresh donkey jawbone. There's a piece of bone on the side of the road. I'm going to pick up this jawbone. He reaches down and grabs it, and with it killed the whole company. And Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, I made heaps of donkeys out of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I killed an entire company. And when he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and he named that place Ramoth-Lehi, Jawbone Hill. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he was able to tackle a whole company of Philistines with a jawbone. Power. Okay, what about David? Prophet Samuel is seeking to anoint a new king, right? Saul has gone bad. He's seeking the right person to anoint. Goes to the house of Jesse, and they start trotting out all the ones that they believe should be king, starting with the oldest. He's ruddy. He's handsome. He's big. He's tall. All the things that they're expecting, and David has no inkling that he's going to be the one chosen out in the fields. But when he's finally selected and brought in, and Samuel pours the oil over his head, the scriptures tell us this. The Spirit of God entered David like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. The Spirit of God empowering him to be the most famous king in Israel's history. So we have this promise. Promise from Jesus. We can have the same power. And it's power to live an abundant life. And I would venture to say even a remarkable life. Maybe even a questionable life. There's a gentleman who spoke at Exponential. His name is Michael Frost. In one of the workshops that I went to, he talked about living a questionable life. And I love that phrase because initially it sounds like it might be negative. But if our lives look just like everybody else's lives, why would anybody question? Why would anybody want what we have? Our job, our goal, our purpose is to live a life that's questionable, where people would be inspired to seek and ask questions about our lives. What's different? Why are you living the way that, why are you doing what you're doing? What are the things that we're doing that make a difference that would cause people to ask questions? And that power that God gives us through his Holy Spirit allows us to live a questionable life in the best of all sort of ways so that people will be inspired to ask and find out more. All right, so we have this promise from Jesus, right? This power from on high. Now, if we were to jump forward a few weeks, Jesus is now ascended into heaven. And the disciples and others are still hiding out, confused, but certainly obedient. They go back to Jerusalem where they know they can be killed, and they're hiding out in the upper room. They're back there because they were instructed to be there. They're obedient to their rabbi, but they're not quite sure exactly what they're waiting for. He just told them to go back and wait for the gift. Wait for something that I'm going to give you. And then, and this is why this is Pentecost, right? In the upper room, an experience like none other. And this is from the second chapter of Acts. It says, when the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks. And they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on. And they kept saying, aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene. Immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. And their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head nor tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joked. They're drunk on cheap wine. And this is great. That's when Peter stood up, backed by the other 11, and spoke out with bold urgency. I want to stop there. So passion is the next one. An experience that's so real in your life, so life-transforming that you can't help but speak about it. You can't help but work so that all will experience what you have. What are you passionate about? Cheerleading. We're passionate about a lot of things. But let me ask you this. Can you see yourself being passionate about salvations? About seeing lives transformed? About being used by God to His glory in a way you never dreamed or imagined? Are you passionate about that? Peter was passionate before this time, before this Holy Spirit experience in the upper room. He was passionate about saving his own skin. He was passionate about self-preservation, about slipping into obscurity. But then he has this upper room experience with the Holy Spirit that changes all of that. So I want you to see how his last words before this, which is, I don't know the man. I don't know who you're talking about. Where he denies Christ three times just as Christ said he would. That same man who's in hiding that denies Christ is transformed in this experience. Later in Acts 2, Peter says this in the message. Change your life. Could you imagine standing up? Change your life. Turn to God. Passion. Turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins are forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is targeted to you and your children, but also to all who are far away, right? The promise is for everybody, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Whomever, in fact, our Master God invites. He went on in this vein for a long time, urging them over and over, get out while you can. Get out of this sick and stupid culture. That day, about 3,000 took him at his word and were baptized and were signed up. Now, that's passion. Same man that is denying Christ has his upper room Holy Spirit experience and has become passionate that nothing can keep him from proclaiming Christ over and over and again, no matter what has come up against him, no matter what fear might have presented itself before. This passion is, it gives him the ability to supersede any of that. The passion, the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a passion that goes from coward to public preacher. He's calling people out, speaking with passion about what he knows to be the truth, and it transforms the crowd. Do we have the passion to speak the truth in love? Are you passionate about your faith? Are you passionate to see souls saved? And does your passion exceed your fear? And finally, we're called to a unique purpose. In the scripture from Acts, we see a part of what we're called to do, going back to Acts 1:8 again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the second half is, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It is to be Christ's witnesses in ever-increasing circles. In our own lives, in our family, in our friends, in our neighborhood, and eventually the world. We got another testimony this week that our series on authentic faith in James, there were like three people. I had three first names, and one of them came to faith in Christ after watching that on Unshackled TV. That's ever-increasing circles, right? I can't drive to Texas, but people can watch it on TV. So God has enabled us to be able to go beyond to the very ends of the earth. Amen? Jesus mentioned the same call in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. It says this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore, right? Because Jesus Christ is saying, I have all this authority. It's been given to me, and now, therefore, go, right? Christ is saying, you can use my authority and go and do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Right? Christ is with us always. So the power and the passion that we've been given through the Holy Spirit has a purpose. All right? We don't want to be passionate and then just kind of run our wheels in our homes. You know, where I'm passionate about something. I have a lot of power. The Holy Spirit's given me power. And it just somehow stays inside. But our purpose is to go, right? You will be my witnesses. Go and make disciples. That's our job as Christians. If we profess Christ and receive salvation, that salvation from God's wrath, and receive the Holy Spirit and then seek after that for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, then God is going to empower us to supersede our fear, go beyond our fear, to enable us to live out the purpose that he has for us. And it goes beyond us to proclaim the gospel. And the scripture tells us that we've been given that authority in Jesus' name. All right, so if we look at the early church, the same thing, the early disciples then took that authority. They didn't take it upon themselves and say, oh, I'm so great. Healed. It's all about me. But instead, right, the lame man outside the temple gates, they said, money we have not. But in the name of Jesus, right, that's the authority. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And they're able to heal with the authority that is given to us in the name of Jesus, right? We do nothing under our own authority, but the authority of Christ. That is the one that heals. That is the one that delivers. That is the one that brings people to salvation. We need to just work. We need to operate in the purposes that he has for us is to go and use that authority. What about Tabitha being raised from death? In Jesus' name. Get up, raised to life again. That's a power and authority that we're given in Christ. So is this what you want? You have to ask yourself. It's a risky proposition because none of it is comfortable, right? Being willing to operate with that passion and power and purpose is not going to ever be comfortable. It might feel right, but it always gets us beyond our comfort zones, always going to bring us into a place where we have to exercise faith because that is where God is, right? If we're operating under our own power and our own authority, we are not going to see the miraculous. We need to operate under his authority and step out in faith, but only if we have Christ, only if we have the Holy Spirit. We don't want to do it without it. So is that what you want? Do you want a life where you have the power to overcome any obstacle? The passion to see lives changed and people set free? To live with purpose and not just wander through life? Well, the first step is to accept that we can't do it alone, like I said. That we need Christ in our lives in order to live this abundant life. He has promised just this in that great commission, right? Go and make disciples, and lo, I will be with you now until the end of the age. So we don't do it alone. But our first step is always to accept Christ as our Savior. That's the beginning of the journey, right? And we talked about baptism, and baptism in the Holy Spirit. I have a video I'm going to share in just a moment. I was always a doubter when it came to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a Presbyterian church, then went from there to all kinds of weird stuff. Then found myself when I was saved, I went to a UCC church because that's the pastor when my dad died. And nowhere did anybody tell me that this was available to me. I then served at a local church here that was a UCC Methodist Federated Church. No one told me that I could be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It wasn't until I went to Assemblies of God Church. And even then, I went, that's not real. I'm sorry, I'm such a cynic. That's not real. And I had an experience where somebody began to speak in tongues and everything in my body started to go. I went, that's real. I don't know what that is, but I want that. I want the evidence that God is with me like that. And I could never receive that. If you've ever been to any kind of evangelistic meeting where they're praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit, I'm never good at that. I don't like public anything. I know I'm up here doing this, but honestly, this is a stretch. But that when people would pray over me, because I was always leading worship, I'd want to hide. Like, stop doing that. Stop doing that. I don't know. And I'd fight everything. And so it wasn't until I was just like where Cameron is, in the back of a service one night, and somebody was just singing a very simple song, keyboard singing, and I was singing and praising God in the back, and out of my mouth just came this language. So it wasn't anything that it wasn't purposeful. Does that make sense? It wasn't like I was doing it for show. It wasn't like somebody pushed me down or did something weird. I just was praising God, and I received that gift. And it was something that I had to keep using and using. But I'm so grateful, because I know that God has empowered me to be in the ministry. I couldn't be doing this without him. I couldn't be doing that without the power of God in my life. It's a challenge to be a Christian. And I would want that for everybody, to receive that. And so I have, the Assemblies of God created like 3 little videos. And I wanted to share one because I just love this guy. He's funny. But he's also somebody that lived a life kind of like mine in the past, if you know anything about mine. And I just appreciate his genuine spirit and how excited he is after having received the Spirit. So if you wouldn't mind, Leighton, we'll watch the video and then I'll come and close, okay? It's a wonderful testimony, isn't it? And I love how they were at a church that didn't even understand, and nobody had taught about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the brother went down, and they had to go home and figure out what happened. I love that, because it means it's genuine. It's not for show. It's not for anything else, but that God had given the gift. And so we seek after the giver of the gift, really, not the gift, right? We want to seek after God and praise his name, and but that it's available to us, just like the early church. And I want to read this final passage. This is the book that I read. This is page 41 in this book. And I just love the way that he put this, and this is my heart. I read this, and I was saying to Cameron, I said, this is so powerful. And this is what I was asking you before. Do you want more? And he says in the book, it's just that I want more. And I don't think I'm being selfish. I think Jesus wants that too. I want to see people who grasp for hope find something more than eternal fire insurance. I want friends who sit amidst the broken shards of failed marriage promises to find a path to restoration and new life. I want those who've been abused and cheated and neglected to have the gaping holes in their hearts filled to overflowing. That's what I want. And since you've read this far, or since you're listening, I think you want that too. How have so many ended up with a spiritual life that's exercised on Sunday, then tucked into a trunk like a ventriloquist dummy for the next 6 days? How did so many end up practicing nominal Christianity when they wear the label without living the life? How did the term Christian become more synonymous with political ideology than with righteous living and life-changing power? There's one more question that haunts me even more. Why is it that people who seemed furthest from God ran towards Jesus, while those hiding behind self-righteous facades couldn't stand to be near him? And why is it often just the opposite for us? People were drawn to Jesus' power and then quickly encountered his amazing love. We struggle with both, don't we? And I don't think that was the plan when he announced his authority, promised his presence, and said that people would know we are his disciples by our love. I'm intrigued when I see that Jesus entrusted his mission to a few simple folks who didn't understand most of the truths they later wrote about. And that's the early church. But they had one thing. And it would be the one thing that makes all the difference. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Do you want to see those kind of changes? To live a questionable life? To have those that we encounter have the opportunity and the ability to experience that same life? A life that's abundant. A life to the full. And so I just, as the worship team comes to lead us in a final song, I wanted to open the altars. I want us to have the opportunity to come forward to receive whatever that might be. If you want to seek after God first, if you've never confessed Christ as Savior and you want to come forward for that, come forward. But if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then come forward for that. Don't leave here unless you've actually just, and you know what, let me just put this out front. Sometimes people come forward and they might not receive right then in that moment, but that doesn't mean anything, okay? Go home and keep praying and keep asking and keep seeking. I know with with Sherry were here, she could testify. She would come forward all the time and she'd get so frustrated. I want to, and we talk about that, but you know what? She ended up receiving the baptism at some completely different event. Yeah, come on. Whoop, whoop. Do it. Testify.
I would pray. I would pray, God, just send that Holy Spirit. Let me just speak in tongues. Let me do what I need to do. And I would pray, and I would pray, and I would pray. And I remember this is what happened. I was in the nursery at a former church. No kids that day. I was down there by myself. And the windows were open in the sanctuary. And I'll never forget, Pastor was saying, let the Holy Spirit just come through. Let the Holy Spirit just come through this whole entire church. And I remember I was right by the window listening because I could listen to the service through the open windows. And I remember starting to speak in tongues and I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. And it scared the living daylights out of me because I was trying to say something. I was praising God and I was trying to say something and I couldn't understand what I was saying. And I knew I was praising God, but it was just the most amazing. But it was so unexpected because it was just then. All right. God knew what was going to happen. God knew what was going to happen. That Holy Spirit knew exactly when that time was going to take place. But it was so, 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 so powerful. But I was down, and I couldn't talk enough. When I got upstairs, I was like, I can't believe what happened. I was downstairs, and all of a sudden, and it was like, whoa. You know, but the Holy Spirit does immaculate, amazing, amazing things. So, amen.
And so would you agree with me that Diane is passionate and operates in the power of the Holy Spirit and has purpose? Amen? That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's just have a time if you... I know that you, I don't know exactly who has been baptized in the Spirit here. I know some. If somebody comes forward, you'd be willing to pray with them. And just, let's just take this time. We're family, right? So we're judgment-free zone. We come forward. And if it's another prayer need, let's do that too. Let's just meet God right now, okay? And it's 11:15. Let's just take some time. They're going to sing so that people aren't listening to what you're saying or whatever. It'll all be very private up here, okay? So just come forward if you want to seek after God. And let's just have this time of worship. Amen. Hallelujah. I just believe in faith that God is doing more than we can see in the natural even now, that strongholds are being torn down by the power of His Holy Spirit, that chains of addiction and chains that have kept people bound for years and years are being released by the power of His Holy Spirit. I believe that His people are going to be walking in victory and in passion and power. I see it with my eyes of faith, a church restored, a church redeemed, standing up for the things of God and walking in power and passion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit's fire that just burns within us. God, set that fire deep within us that we would have a passion that would be unquenchable, God, a fire that no man would be able to put out, God. We thank you, Lord, for being with us in this place, oh God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one gathered here, God, and the testimonies that are going to come from seeking after you today, oh God. That today, God, would be a transformation day. That we would mark this day, May 15th, and go, Lord, I know that I was made new, that there was something I laid down at that altar today, either in my heart or physically up here, that I no longer have to struggle with, that I am new, that your word tells us that we are a new creature in Christ. We thank you for newness of life, oh God, but we thank you, Lord, for that further gift of your Holy Spirit. Continue to pour out, God, for those that are seeking, oh Lord. I pray, God, that they continue to seek after you and pray, oh God, to just give you glory in advance of what you're doing. We pray all these things, God, in eyes of faith as we step out believing. Believing for all those things that we hold so dear, that the church would rise up triumphant, and that we would be able to live questionable lives. Thank you, God. Oh, God, I want more of you. I want more, more and more and more as we go from glory to glory to glory, God. Let us never become satisfied. The depths of the Lord, the facets of you are so many that we couldn't possibly know them all. And so we just seek to grow in our faith, God, to be able to witness more of who you are, more of your character, more of your presence, more of what you have for us, oh God. Let us never be satisfied. Let us set aside the things of the world, oh God, that we can never satisfy. And seek after the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Before we close, is there anybody else that needs prayer this morning? For healing? I love praying. Because I know the God to whom I pray. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Well, we'll close worship. Let me just send you out with a blessing. Heavenly Father, just bless your people. Make your face to shine upon them. Lead them into all righteousness, O God. Clothe them with the righteousness of Christ and give them a power of your Holy Spirit today. May we walk out of here with heads held high, knowing that we are children of the Most High God and that we are daughters and sons of the King. And by his authority, we will live in power, in passion, and with purpose. So all God's people, if you're in agreement with me, we say in Jesus' name, amen, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, church. Be blessed.